Listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
CJLO News, I'm Harley Martin. The Vienne Commission is calling on the Quebec government to apologize for systemic discrimination of Indigenous peoples in the province. It is the first of 148 calls to action released Monday morning in a report looking into First Nations and Métis access to public services. The commission has heard over 1,000 testimonies since 2016, when the report was ordered to look into allegations of police abuse of Indigenous women uncovered by Radio-Canada. Four have been arrested after violence broke out at a campaign rally for People's Party leader Maxime Bernier. Protesters and supporters scuffled before the event started outside the Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario. Arrests were made on both sides of the exchange. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman told 60 Minutes on Sunday he takes full responsibility for the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. He denies ordering the murder, but has confirmed Saudi officials carried out the hit 1 year ago this week. The Saudi government has reportedly charged 11 people for Khashoggi's killing. There have been no reported convictions, and the trial is being held in secret. To hear the news or learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
CJLO is a college community radio station broadcasting out of the Loyola campus of Concordia University in Montreal, Quebec. We broadcast at 1690 kHz on the AM dial and have a transmitter with 1000 watts of power. The views expressed on air do not reflect CJLO. Any views expressed during a show are those of the DJ and not of the station as a whole or its management. If you would like to find out more, please visit our website at cjlo.com. Thanks for your support and keep listening to CJLO 1690 AM, Montreal's underground radio.
Talento, fortuna, esperienza. Impegno, costanza, coerenza. Tra genio e follia c'è poca differenza. Hanno lo stesso punto di partenza. Ma se sei solo e ti perdi e non va come vorresti tu, non c'è un navigatore né un tutorial su YouTube. È bello se ti riconoscono, è bello se vai in TV, ma è meno bello quando sei tu che non ti riconosci più.
Because we see Gomez all the way. Alejandro Gomez around the defense. Gomez! A brilliant solo goal.
Bene, ti fanno la ola, ti cantano un coro. La vittoria è una cosa di squadra, ma se perdi, perdi da solo. Per ogni ballerina che ha male i piedi e si medica, per ogni calciatore che risparmia per le scarpe nuove, ogni studente che non mangia si dimentica, o musicista che anche da stanco va in sala prove, per ogni sportivo, artista, regista, scrittore, fotografo.
Dalbert poking it through, Chiesa's too quick here, Chiesa's in for number two, and finally he has his goal. Federico Chiesa ends his goal drought here.
Nulla è impossibile se credi in quello che fai.
Se credi in quello che fai.
Chi ci crede è, chi è che ha fede è chi riesce a vincere anche senza te. Nulla è impossibile se credi in quello che fai.
Se credi in quello che fai.
Chi ci crede è, chi è che ha fede è chi riesce a vincere anche senza.
Pedro, but there's a bit of room for the cross. It's there, Castro! And Cagliari, against all the odds, against all the run of play, have the lead.
Mangono sempre quelli in bianco e nero e non esiste un'idea stupida se sei te che ci metti la faccia. Chi dice che non ce la fai lo fa perché lui non ce l'ha fatta. Vorrebbero che pure te facessi come ho fatto loro, ma se non lavori il tuo sogno non sarà mai il tuo lavoro. Per quella ballerina che adesso balla in teatro, il calciatore che ora gioca nella sua squadra del cuore, per ogni studente che ancora non ha mollato e trova la forza nelle parole di quella canzone.
Curious routine,
someone down on the deck just behind the wall. It's driven back in, and it's driven back by Pjanic to put Juve in front.
If you remember listening to our show around this time last year, we started a year ago last week. In our first few Tuesdays, it was raining. And it became a theme almost of our show. It would rain all the time. Here on the Calcio Guys on CJO 6090 with Adriano DiNardo, Gianni Del Colli. I'm Nicholas DiGiovanni. It's raining again today in Montreal, as we're going to have Marco Paradiso, or Marco Paradiso Illustrator, as we know him on Instagram, at 2:30 to talk about art and football. Not the first time we've done that.
No.
But it's raining in Montreal, and it's raining, metaphorically, in Milan right now. Not actually, because Atalanta's playing their Champions League game in Milan, 1-1 against Shakhtar at the San Siro.
But metaphorically.
Metaphorically, it's not only raining with AC Milan right now, Adriano.
It's pouring.
It's pouring. I think this is a level 5 typhoon.
It's pouring. It's pouring. It's raining. Cats and dogs. I'm totally pissed off today. I had to smash the table for my man Steve.
You were 5 feet, five, not even, sorry, like 2 inches away from like slamming on your phone there.
Yeah, I'm raging. I had to smash the table for my man Steve, Milan and Weekly Podcast. I mean, it's all Milan fans, I think, collectively feel the same, I guess. Feel this fury inside. But, I mean, unfortunately, that's what it is right now. And we're going to have to continue waiting, I guess, even though it's painful to wait for this project to finally get rolling, I guess. But I'm totally pissed off.
So the problem started last Wednesday, as we know, two match days since we last did our show. Problem started last week against Torino with a 2-1 loss.
And it's through towards Simone Zaza, and Belotti must finish. He does so acrobatically. It certainly wasn't the way he intended in the first instance, but a quick fire double from Andrea Belotti has turned this match on his head. Back inside on his favoured left, Suso's cross, it must be. What a save from Sinigu. Piontek denied from point blank range.
Gianni, your Torino offense actually came alive.
Yep.
But not sleeping blind giants, as you call them.
Nah, not this time around. Belotti is leading the league right now with 5 goals. I don't know, though. Like, we've seen this from him before where he shows, like, the scoring prowess, and it's like, oh, my God, this is exactly the type of striker that Italy needs, and he's young, and he's got the talent. And then for the past 2 seasons, he just snoozes away. So I don't know if maybe this year is his revenge tour type of thing, or maybe he's just on a hot streak right now. I still have my question marks on him.
And then Adriano on Sunday, it was not exactly Gianni's other favorite player, Federico Chiesa, who stole the show, but instead a 36-year-old who played in the 06 World Cup final and lost to Italy, Frank Ribery.
That's a poor giveaway from Gianluca. Frank Ribery with a chance to attack them. Oh, what about that from Ribery? Terrific save, but Chiesa goes over, penalty, and it's all about the brilliance of Ribery. Is what he's really good at. He runs through and he finds Ribery, and Frank Ribery seals a glorious win for Fiorentina with a sumptuous goal at San Siro.
Okay, no covering it up. What's wrong with Milan?
From top to bottom, I think there's an issue from management to coach to the players on the field, or lack thereof. I mean, it's a total shamble of and flurry of events that have been going on. I mean, getting rid of Gattuso, bringing in Gianpaolo. We all know how Gianpaolo is as a manager. He comes, as I said, from that, you know, Sarri-esque type of football and has a certain brand of football that he plays and a certain philosophy. And I find it does take a bit of time to, I guess, get the ball rolling. He's kind of stuck on that frame of mind and doesn't really look elsewhere. But I mean, look at it. We had Gattuso with all the heart and not the tactics. And now I find we flipped the script with not much heart going into games and having a bit of tactics. But yes, Johnny.
My question to you is here, because I'm a big fan of him, but I don't know. I want to see your opinion on it. Do you think firing Gattuso was a mistake that Milan did?
Well, look, I mean...
Or replacing him, let's say, with Gianpaolo.
I mean, replacing with him Gianpaolo, I think it's an iffy situation because not to take a shot at Gianpaolo, but he hasn't really accomplished much in his career. He's went through, you know, he's went through the divisions in Italian football, and lastly with Sampdoria, and kind of had promising seasons with them. And we all knew he was, you know, a decent coach, but nothing to nothing, I guess, spectacular to say that, you know, he's going to go to a big club and he's going to do remarkable things. I mean, Milan, it's a different piazza over there than in Genoa. So for me, if we could have had the heart of Gattuso and the grinta that he brings to the players and the fighting spirit that he brings with some sort of tactics, I think we would have been better off. I mean, I think, sorry, Gattuso did, you know, I mean, the best he could with the players that he had and the situation that he was and the cards that he was dealt. But I just think maybe the whole Gianpaolo coming in would have brought too much, like, oh my God, he's so much better than Gattuso, we have to do so much better. But I personally don't think they're on the same level to compare. I would have loved, obviously, Gattuso to stick around. Obviously, he's a Milan legend, and the heart that he brings is second to none. But if he could have had, you know, his heart and his grinta with some more tactics, I think we'd have been better off.
Don't forget, prior to him leaving, he was the third highest winning coach in Serie A behind Allegri and Sarri before Sarri went to England. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's where I'm saying that, like, Milan was getting results with Gattuso, and that's my personal opinion. I think maybe the sacking of him was, or the replacement of him, for lack of a better term, was a bit too premature.
Okay.
Possibly.
Last year, Gianpaolo at Sampdoria started with a draw and a loss. Fine, you know, it's not nothing to worry about. Picked up two wins, another loss, draw, two wins, draw, three losses from match day 10 to 12, and then it started picking up in November, December, when Quagliarello was on his goal-scoring streak.
Yeah.
Six games without a loss, and eight in nine, without a loss during that period. Then it went downhill. They lost six out of their next 10, including one win in their last five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm getting here is that Marco Gianpaolo is not a coach that gets better through the season. He might peak. He might have a hot streak, or his team might have a hot streak, or one player might have a hot streak, like Qualiera last year. But once that streak is done, there's no going back. And I saw a lot of Milan fans on Twitter, and I told this to our friends on Milan Weekly podcast, who were bringing up the fact that Atalanta started slow last year too. I think they were in 12th after a couple of match days, something along those lines.
I think it was like 17, no?
Yeah, and
they were low.
I even have the let me pull that up for you actually. Atalanta was as low as 17th after match day, yes, and they climbed right into their Champions League spot. But the difference between this year's Milan and last year's Atalanta is that Atalanta has a good coach. And Atalanta has had a coach last year that's going to make his team better. Milan doesn't have that. So from an outsider's perspective, this is very, very worrisome, especially the way they're playing. Just no passion. Just nothing to live for.
It's hard to say, I think it's hard to say. Yes, okay, we'll say Gasparini is a better coach than Gianpaolo, but he had that team under him for more than just half a season, or not even, six games. So they already had their, you know, their gameplay intact, and he had a certain philosophy that the players bought into. And I think that's where it, you know, speaks volumes. And right now we're talking about six games in to the Serie A season. Yes, it's worrisome. Yes, it's frustrating for Milan fans, but to compare something like that, I mean, I think it's a bit hard to compare, but I mean, that's just the way I see it.
Why don't we just put, like, I know, like, we're talking about Gianpaolo a lot here, but, like, okay, let's just play devil's advocate. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt, right? Because it's only six games in with AC, right?
Yeah.
Or plus or minus with the champions, the
ICC.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm losing my words here. When can we start pointing the fingers at maybe management for making the wrong choices for their team? Maybe they did a good move last year by getting Piontek. Piontek was that star scorer that AC Milan desperately needed. The guy who was going to put you those 15 plus goals in nets, because those make a big difference, right?
Yeah.
Even 20 plus if he's on a good streak. So that was a great move, but followed up by all these questionable other moves now. It's, when do we start pointing fingers at management kind of screwing up the team a little?
I mean, I think there's a lot of pressure up top there. I mean, the two legends that they have up there, Paolo Maldini and Boban up there. I mean, it's a lot of pressure. You know, you're I mean, the glory days of them being players and now being in management, I think it's night and day now. And I don't know. Some of the pickups I do like. I think it's tough to see when they're not producing and sometimes not even getting in there. Like for me, Paquetá is not in there enough. Benacer there had an off game, but he's been in and out of the lineup. Theo Hernandez, the same thing. I mean, Çalhanoğlu has to sit the bench. I don't know why this guy is even remotely on a Serie A pitch. In my opinion, he's a total waste of a player, and he brings nothing to the table like whatsoever. So a lot of fury for me comes from there. But I mean, I don't know. It's tough. There's obviously a lot of pressure, and there's a lot of pressure to, you know, to bring this team to where it once was.
That was me, like with Pandev back in the day when he played for Napoli.
Pandev.
Okay, that's enough Milan talk. We're gonna hit a short break here on the Calcio Guys. On the other side of break, we have two match days to go through and other coaches on the hot seat here on CGO 6090.
Stop by Montreal Improv with live improvised comedy every Thursday through Sunday night. Listed as one of Cult MTL's best comedy clubs, Montreal Improv brings you a variety of unique and experimental shows featuring some of the city's funniest up-and-coming performers. You don't have to stay in the audience either. Whether you are interested in performance or trying something new, we have classes that start monthly where you can learn all the necessary skills to take you from your seat to the stage. For more information on shows and classes, visit montrealimprov.com.
The Groove Masters Hour on CGLO 1690 on your AM dial every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. The Groove on your way home. 514-848-7471. Give us a call.
Excuse me. Is that your real voice?
Welcome to CJLO Underground Radio.
You're listening to CJLO and you have three guests from KRFE.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Jesse.
And I'm Jacob.
And we're in fifth grade at St. Jude's School.
True that. True that.
Cervinho. It's his ball in. It must be for Inglese. And there it is. 3 minutes of normal time remaining. And the change has paid dividends for the...
And we heard there Parma with a crazy game on the Monday nighter last night against Torino. 3-2, the game had a red card, a penalty, a missed penalty, or I'd rather say a stopped penalty by Sidigu. I just want to pull up that audio from that missed penalty. I know you guys are going to laugh from this one. have a second. Have a second to listen to this.
It's Cervinho against Sidigu, and it's saved by the goalkeeper. Salvatore, the savior, once again.
Salvatore, the savior.
Or you could just say San Salvatore. But Parma was actually one of four teams to win both of the games this past week, the midweek game and the weekend game. Inter won twice, Juventus won twice. That's almost a given at this point in the season. And then Fiorentina, hey, we were criticizing them a couple of weeks ago, but a win against Sampdoria and a win against, obviously, Milan, plus Parma's wins against Sassuolo and Torino. At least for Torino and Parma, Fiorentina and Parma, they have to be happy with their week.
I think so. I mean, I think I've said it since we started back up with this show, the Fiorentina and the project that they have there. I've said it pretty much every week. I'm a believer, and I think, you know, slowly things will turn, and maybe now is the time. I know it's, again, still early in the season, six games in, but, you know, to get momentum early in the season, I think it, you know, it goes a long way because once, especially with a young team, slash, you know, obviously they have some older guys now there, but with the younger guys that they have, I think it's it builds confidence and it builds momentum, and that goes a long way. So, I mean, for Parma, I think they're another team. They're middle of the pack, whatever, and these wins can maybe get them, I don't know, top 10, maybe come the end of the season. But, I mean, slowly, I think, is the way to go, especially since it's so early in the season.
I think, like, ever since they added everybody on that left side for Fiorentina, it just really helped them become better, on an exponential level, because now they have both great threats and playmaking threats from the left and right side. I think that game against Juve where they drew 0-0, but they dominated the whole game, I think kind of gave them a bit of confidence.
Yeah,
they kept Juve on their heels the whole time. I'm not trying to crap talk Juve like I usually do and being like, I'm trying to be as critical as possible.
They should have won that. They should have won that game.
They should have won that game. And I think that's when they decide, like, oh, hey, maybe we're a better team than we think we are. And like these games that they're winning here and there, like now, the past four games, they have two wins and two draws, and they're starting to pick up the points. They're gaining confidence in their skills, and I think this is when the role of the boulder begins downhill now instead of going uphill. Now it's going to go downhill for them, and everything's just going to come easily to them.
Hey, speaking about that Juve-Fiorentina game, Juve was terrible in that game. I mean, straight up, I know, I think we said it on the show. I think you missed that show, Gianni. Or no, that was the show where Adriano was late, and he missed the discussion of that game.
Yes.
And first thing he says when he comes in is, did you criticize Juve? Did you talk about Juve Fiorentina? Yeah. We're both like, yeah, you know, they were terrible. But since then, they've looked a lot better. You know, I think they've had some growing pains under Maurizio Sarri. I don't know if it was the same thing when Sarri was coaching Napoli.
Yeah, it was. His first season with Napoli was a bit of a hectic season, like Ancelotti's first season was last year.
Yeah.
But eventually the players get used to the system and everything works out. And I think Juventus, they have a very talented team. They're going to pick it up easily. They're going to learn that Ramsey's probably the better choice in the center defensive mid position. But
he's more of an attacking midfielder now.
Really?
If he stays healthy, he should be on the pitch.
That's a big if.
I thought he always was a center defensive mid.
Well, he could play all over the midfield, but Sarri wants him more as an attacking midfielder behind the strikers, and he's looked really good. And Dybala's finally playing. He looked really good against Spal, created a lot of chances, had that beautiful assist to Ronaldo.
Yeah, Spal.
No, exactly.
Okay.
Every
discussion that we have ever in the show, we're just going to be, okay, it's Spal, it's Lecce.
No, I'm just saying it's like, it's...
Wow. it makes a difference when you're playing Spal or Lecce or Atletico Madrid in Champions League. So
it's for me, it's great to see these guys play these games. And I'm not we know that Dybala is talented, but if he performed like that versus, let's say, against Napoli, for example, their top, or Inter, then you'd be like, oh my God, maybe Dybala's actually finding his form again. When it's against Spal, it's like, okay, well, yeah, sure, Spal beat Lazio, but Spal is not really the team that you're going to go writing home about.
Apples and oranges.
Yeah, that you beat, you know, and it's like Mertens, you know, he plays amazingly well against small teams. The moment he plays against the major teams, he can't seem to find a goal.
Yeah.
And that's where I get critical of him now.
Of course.
Regardless,
yes,
Sarri found
a spot
for Dybala on the roster. Although he's not going to start today,
Yeah, but Juve has a whole bunch of options they could choose.
They're going to be rotating, but somehow Sami Khedira still has
that kills me every
concrete
time.
Spot on the team.
Don't you mean Emre Can's twin brother? Is that
yeah,
I think on Saturday Khedira was actually subbed out for Can, so they didn't really make any moves.
Yeah, exactly.
Other happenings around the league. Bologna, hey, we were praising them. They're kind of retreating back to their normal form. They lost to Udinese on Saturday, and last week in the midweek they lost. My mind's blanking. Who did they lose to, Adriano?
Last week
They lost. No, tie Genoa 0-0.
So they didn't pick up. They picked up one point out of six. But I think that's what we could expect from them moving forward. You know, obviously they had that hot start. But you know, they're not a superstar team.
I think they're a team that'll coast. I think they'll coast middle of the pack. I don't see them getting relegated. I don't see them getting into Europe. I think they'll just find their way in maybe in the top 10, maybe 10 to like 14, 15. I think they'll probably coast around those spots.
So Atalanta right now, 70th minute, still 1-1 against Shakhtar. I watched the first half before the show. They looked really good. Like they did against Sassuolo, Papu Gomez had this goal against Sassuolo. I'll just pull it up for you.
Trip in the Europa League as we see Gomez all the way. Alejandro Gomez around the defense. Gomez! A brilliant solo goal from the Atalanta captain. As Hatapoa goes down the line, Peluso marking. Clipped in, and there is the chance, and finally it does come to life. Duvan Zapata scoring the fourth goal.
That was also Zapata's fourth goal against the Sassuolo. He scored the opening goal in the Champions League. Atalanta, just like last year, they started a bit slow. They beat Roma last week, and they beat Sassuolo on the weekend. So sorry, I did not include them as the other team that won both both the midweek game and the weekend game. But this is a team, once they get going, once you get that oil in the machine, they're going to be running all game.
I think so. I mean, finally, I mean, seeing a bit more of Papu Gomez. I think his experience is second to none in Serie A. Finally, with this Atalanta team that needs the experience, along with, you know, a bit of the youth and a bit of, you know, their skill players as well. So for me, I mean, I'm not surprised that they're picking up these points. I mean, obviously, going beginning of the season, still again, I'll say that again. But before this season, I figured it would be, you know, a tougher path to maybe what they want to achieve this season. You know, their first Champions League game, they look terrible. This one, it seems like they have a bit more fight, and, you know, they're keeping you know, equal with Shakhtar. So, you know, 4-1 against Sassuolo, I think it's you know, it's an important win, especially early on, and I think, you know, they'll manage to get more results in the future.
Just a quick fact here, talking about Atalanta, they're tied for top offensive team in Serie A with Napoli, both teams with 15 goals.
Yeah. Back like last year.
Yeah, so they're showing that they're still the same team as they were last year.
I wanted to ask you about Napoli, Gianni. Yeah. Obviously, lose to Cagliari in the middle of the week, come back with a strong performance against Brescia. I mean, Manolas scores another goal for Napoli, and then I think it was Mertens, right?
Yeah.
Who scored. Mertens, you know, I've always found where in seasons past there's been games where, like, as you've mentioned before, he'll score against the smaller teams and not do so well against the bigger teams. But I don't know. I have a feeling this season he's just going to be consistent throughout.
Hopefully, that's the way we expect from him. Ever since he was swapped to that center forward position when we lost Higuain, it just exploded. I think he got, like, what was it? That year he got, like, what was it, like 25? No. 26 goals. It was a crazy amount of goals. Higher, his highest amount of goals ever scored in Serie A for him, for his own personal history. Napoli needs to defend on him if they're going to make him as his main striker, since Milik is always on and off, on and off. So he needs to be consistent, and we hope for him to do that. A player that I'm kind of disappointed on is Insigne, but that's a whole other discussion. He needs to, if he's not going to be scoring goals, he needs to be that playmaker that Napoli needs. At least, and, you know, like, you can't always have Callejon being the playmaker for the team. You know, Insigne can do that role too. But back to the main point of discussion for Mertens, it's nice to see him score. Hopefully, he will be consistent.
And Adriano, circling back to our topic from the top of the show with Gianpaolo out in Milan, or Milan fans want him out. Other coaches in the hot seat right now: Eusebio De Francesco for Sampdoria, Areolo, Andrea Zoli in Genoa, Leonardo Semplici, Spal, and Roberto De Zerbi, Sassuolo. So it's not like I've seen any news regarding those coaches a bit for Andrea Zoli, but in my opinion, those four coaches might not have their job after the international break. Who out of those four coaches, plus Gianpaolo, who do you think keeps their job and loses their job once the break comes?
So the break comes when? In a couple weeks?
Well, after this match day.
After this match
day? I say the break because that's just a good time to switch your coach. You have that extra time to bring in someone new and implement a system.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I agree with you and disagree, just because I don't know. It's still way too early to start, like, you know, taking out a coach, and what are they going to, you're going to wave a magic wand and everything's going to, you know, be good. But
this is like FIFA.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Everything's like FIFA on Twitter. Everything's like FIFA. But I don't know. I'm personally surprised with the Andrea Zoli. I think he's a good coach. There was rumors maybe Gattuso going over there, but out of all of them, seeing, like, the performances as of late, and, you know, I mean, again, it's still early, but for me, the shocking one is the Di Francesco at Samp. I think he did. I know I'm probably gonna. It's probably not maybe controversial, maybe, to say, but I think he did a decent job with Roma.
Are you sure you want to say that?
Well, I'm not, but I'm just saying. Like, I mean, at the point in time when he got sacked, I personally didn't feel that it was just. But I mean, for me, going over there to Samp for Di Francesco, for me, it's a bit worrisome. They have what, one win in six. They're all the way in last place. It's going to be a tough road to get out of the relegation zone. This is not a team that, you know, we would think that would be battling, you know, relegation, but maybe getting into top 10, maybe even possibly Europa League. But for me, I think that's the biggest shock. Besides, obviously, I mean, Milan start, and then for me, I don't know, Andrea Zoe, De Zerbi, I like them. I like them as coaches. Sempucci too, he's another, you know, decent lower end coach. So for me, it has to be Di Francesco.
I don't think De Zerbi is probably going to be the one that's going to be taken on Sassuolo. Maybe they're just on a bit of a shaky start. So I think he probably keeps his job. The thing, the difference between all the other teams, though, that are currently at the bottom is that Sampdoria has a quality team. They have a couple of good players. It's not like as if Spal, you know, they're scrounging at the bottom of the barrel because just to find quality in what they have, or Genoa is. Genoa also has that ability to find the best in the players that they have. Sampdoria, Di Francesco has some tools to use. I understand he's not the most tactical coach and he's not the greatest coach I've seen, but he at least has some decent players to work with.
Yeah.
So out of all of them, you know, that's why I say I'm trying to be as unbiased as possible because I'm kind of irritated what he did with Roma for the past year and a half. But that's why for Di Francesco, he has some decent quality there and he's not finding anything with it. Yeah. So that's why I say him, he's probably the one that's on the biggest hot seat.
Coming up next on the Calcio Guys, chatting with Marco Paradiso about art and calcio here on CGO 6090.
Hello, I'm Rich Jason. Do you think all electronic music is the same? On Rick Sessions, we play everything, from the most energetic to the calm, from the euphoric to the gloomy, from the cutting edge of the music scene to tracks that have stood the test of time, from 100 BPM to 180 BPM, and everything in between. Plus, you'll get to listen to a weekly mix performed live by me. Rick Sessions is on air every Thursday from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Live only on CJLO 1690 AM and on CJLO.com.
Yeah, CJLO. We respect the music our DJs choose to play.
Are they playing f***ing Coldplay?
How long will they wait?
CJLO!
Oh, okay. How long will they wait?
Some say soccer is an art, and then others combine soccer and art, like Marco Paradiso, sorry, who have on the line with us here on the Calcio Guys. Marco, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing good. How are you?
Not too bad. And so Marco Paradiso, illustrator on Instagram, we could find you with your designs and graphic drawings. But before we get into that portion of yourself, what we do with most of our guests on the show, we ask them about how they got into soccer, because we're all passionate about our teams here. So tell us your story.
So for me, it's actually, I got into soccer a little bit later in life. Growing up, I was a little more into hockey, American football. And then in 2006, when Italy won the World Cup, that kind of lead up to winning the World Cup, I don't know why. I don't know what happened that year, but I felt like this was something important. You know, I followed the tournament the whole way through, and just the feeling I got celebrating in the city once Italy won, this feeling I felt from football, from calcio, was like something I couldn't describe, something I'd never felt before in my life. And yeah, from then on, I just kind of got sucked in. There was something there, something special that I couldn't find in other sports. So from there, you know, I'm an Inter fan. I followed in my father's footsteps. You know, I was led by a good 4 years in Inter's history, and which kind of helped to solidify my love for the sport, my love especially for Italian soccer. And here I am, you know, what is it, like 13 years later, still loving the sport and, you know, doing art, creating art that's really inspired by that story, that feeling.
So Marco, how did you really like, what was like maybe the main factor of bringing your love and passion for calcio into the art scene? And I've seen some of your work, and it's honestly beautiful work that you do. Just maybe the whole, maybe the grind or the whole you know, root cause to how you brought calcio and art together.
Honestly, I mean, I've always been into art, and the more I got into soccer, it was just this visual element to the sport that's beautiful. Like, especially in Italy, you see the jerseys, the colors of the team, the way the colors represent the city, the history, the story. I just felt like there was so much inspiration to kind of just be able to put that on paper. A lot of my earliest work that I did that was soccer related was just very simple colors, you know, not even facial elements. It's just like, it's just like this image is a flag, just the way the jerseys are like a flag, you know.
Yeah,
that's been really the inspiration.
And I'm pretty sure in order to do works as great as these, obviously it's a very, it must be like a lengthy and complicated process, no?
Yeah, in some cases, some are a little simpler than others, but in some cases, some of these works take quite a bit of time, depends how much detail you want to put in them. But yeah, they're pretty time consuming. That's something you got to love to do.
So just checking out your page on Instagram, is there one design you've had the most fun doing where at the end of it, you really looked at it and you said, wow, I'm really proud of this?
Is there one design I like? I don't know. I kind of like, there's a very simple illustration I did of Ronaldo, the Brazilian Ronaldo. It's like just his face, his eyes looking to the left. It's kind of just an inspiration on that famous photo with Brazil. It's just kind of really simple, but I just love the way that looks, the clean lines, the colors, just the expression on his face, just as well as one of the Portuguese Ronaldo playing for Juve. It's a little bit more on the cartoony side, a little bit more of like a comic book kind of style, but I just love the movement in that photo, the color. It's black and white, but there's just a certain movement to it that I really like. I think I did a good job of portraying that.
Yeah, so Marco, like, where does maybe like the inspirations come from your work, from like on a day to day or a week? I don't know how you do it, but do you maybe see a photo online and kind of try to emulate that, or you're actually watching the game and you're like, wow, that moment could have been depicted into art? Where does the inspiration really come from on each individual photo?
Yeah, it's pretty much both those moments. Sometimes I'll be watching a game and there's just like something incredible that happens. And I was like, I need to put that, I need to create something, I need to really just like kind of make this into something. And sometimes it's just really just a photo. You know, on Instagram, I follow a lot of different players, a lot of different soccer accounts, and you just see these amazing photos. Sports photography just really does a good job of capturing movement in such a beautiful way. And that's really what inspires me. I kind of want to just show that kind of movement, that intensity that you see with all these different soccer players.
Absolutely.
So Marco, I'm somebody who loves to play a lot of trading card games, and I collect a lot of trading cards as well. And my cousin here informs me that you're designing for a card game project. Want to tell us more about that?
Yes. So I've been working on this project for about a year now. That's why if anyone's been following me on Instagram, the posts have been a little slow, because I've been really tied up with this really big project. It's some guys from the UK are working on a footy. It's kind of like a tabletop card game. I don't have too many details about the actual gameplay yet. They're still working that out, but I'm designing all the player illustrations for those cards. So that's been a lot of fun. We're kind of like trying to emulate, give the feeling of certain historic players, but kind of creating our own players. So that's really what I've been up to for the last couple of months. If anyone's interested, which it's a really exciting project, feel free to follow me on Instagram or check out their page. The page is called Footy with Cards. So at Footy with Cards on Instagram. It's a really interesting project, and I'm looking forward to see the final product hopefully sometime in early 2020.
And regarding this project or just any of your designs, I mean, obviously it's all done on computer. So what programs do you use? I mean, what does it take to make a design? How long does each design take?
That really depends. So for the most part, I'm working in the Adobe suite using Photoshop, Illustrator, a little bit of Flash sometimes. I'd say those are the main software programs I use. But time-wise, it depends on what you're doing. Sometimes I'll actually draw by hand with a tablet and a pen. Sometimes I'm using just the pen tool and Illustrator. And a design can take me anywhere from an hour to, I don't know, let's say sometimes I put 20 hours into a project because I really want to get the detail of, there was one I had done of Gigi Buffon, where I really wanted to get the detail of his, of every element of his face, the every strand of hair, just to give that extra realism to the picture. So it depends on what you're trying to accomplish at the end of the day.
And talking about accomplishing, I mean, I've seen, obviously your work is second to none, but I've seen a lot of just maybe like solo pictures or maybe a couple players together. Would you ever expand maybe into stadiums or TIFOs or the, you know, the kurvas like in the stadiums, or are you really going to just stick on like the one player to a couple player designs?
I mean, I'm open to anything. For now, a lot of what I've been doing is just something that catches my eye, something that inspires me. I go with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, people have contacted me to do all kinds of different projects. I'd be interested in doing TIFOs. I'd be interested in doing anything that's really involved in the soccer world. Anything that, if it catches my eye, if it inspires me, I'm open to pretty much anything.
And I know you did one of Buffon not too long ago, and one of the rare pictures of Buffon in a blue jersey. And it's funny you mentioned how, you know, you loved watching the 06 World Cup, and then myself and Adriana, we always talk about how that was also our inspiration into soccer.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of famous photos from the 06 World Cup, kind of our holding the trophy, Grosso celebrating his goal. Would you ever design one of those pictures?
Absolutely, yeah. I would love to do one of those. That, for me, that's been one of the most inspirational moments. That jersey from that year was the first soccer jersey that I ever bought myself, and yeah, there's so much memory, so much there that really inspires me, and I would love to do one specifically of that year.
So now we're going to give you a little bit of a free advertising moment. If, let's say, for example, any of our listeners or maybe myself would be interested in probably buying some of your works, where can we go and how can we get it?
So for the time being, the best way to get in contact with me is either to email me directly. You can go to my website, marcoparadiso.com. You can contact me through there, or even just through Instagram. Again, it's Marco Paradiso Illustrator. Just send me a DM. I had a shop up for a while. I took that down because I'm in the process of rebuilding. So in the meantime, just contact me directly, and we'll figure something out. I can have something sent to you by mail, or we can meet up if that works.
And Jan, you said you're interested. I could tell you my cousin Frankie got me two illustrations for Christmas a couple years ago, Dybala and Buffon. Have them right above my desk. And I mean, Marco, they're just amazing. And moving away from the designs, more into calcio, you're an Inter fan. It's a Derby d'Italia this weekend against Juventus. Hey, Inter, 6 wins in 6 games. You must be happy.
Yeah, definitely can't not be happy with a start like that. I wasn't expecting that kind of a start, but for sure, it's exciting. I'm happy to see the way things have started. The team looks exciting. Trying not to get too caught up in the hype. You know, we're going to come down to reality pretty soon. But yeah, so for sure, definitely happy about that.
What are your predictions for the upcoming game?
Honestly, it's hard to make a prediction because I feel like for the first time in a while going into this Derby d'Italia, it's a sort of game where I can kind of see anything happen. I can see a win for Inter, I can definitely see a win for Juve, and I can see a tie. If I had to go with my gut, I mean, I'm going to say it's Juve's game to win. But yeah, I'm obviously hoping for an Inter win, first Inter win over Juve in a while.
Yeah, and you're going to have to probably depict some sort of image with if they beat Juve this weekend.
I think I'm going to have to.
Yeah, absolutely. But jokes aside, I mean, going back to Calcio, Conte, I mean, I think he's been kind of the saving grace for Inter as of late. What do you think of him and what he's brought to Inter?
Yeah, honestly, I'm really happy. I was not the most excited when I heard that he'd be our coach. Obviously, he's a great coach, no doubt about that, but you know, with the ties to Juve, it's always hard to accept that. And he's totally proven me wrong. I feel like, you know, I really love what he's brought to the team, his attitude, just the way he handles press conferences, the way he, just his attitude on the sidelines and what he's done with the team. I mean, says it all. The team he's built so far, it's performed way better than what I expected, than what most people expected. Again, still early. It's too early to say where we'll be at the end of the season, but I'm pretty happy. I'm totally satisfied with Conte. You know, never thought I'd be saying it, but he's okay in my books.
Yeah,
yeah, he's definitely going to add another level of the rivalry this weekend. Anyways, thank you so much for joining us here on the Calcio Guys, Marco.
We appreciate it, Marco.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Ciao.
Okay, take care.
So that's Marco Paradiso Illustrator on Instagram. And coming up next on the Calcio Guys, yellow card, red card, MVP of the week.
Cinema Politica Concordia is back for the fall 2019 semester with your weekly dose of inspiring political documentaries from around the world. Screenings take place every Monday in room H110 of the Hall Building at the downtown Concordia campus. All events are free and open to the public. For full listings and information on special screenings, guest speakers, and how to get involved, visit cinemapolitica.org/concordia.
Did you make some bad decisions on a Tuesday night? Join me, Sarah, as I hold your hair back, give you a glass of water, and feed your hangover blues with a mix of indie, post-punk, and R&B. Bleach your hair, text your ex, wear your sunglasses inside every Wednesday at 12 p.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM. I can see the future will be.
You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
And now you're listening to the Calcio Guys on CJLO 1690 with Adriano DiNardo, Gianni Del Colli. I'm Nicholas DiGiovanni. Atalanta is almost about to wrap up their game against Shakhtar Donetsk. Still 1-1. Atalanta's had quite a few chances, just couldn't bury. Zapata scored that opening goal in the Champions League for Atalanta in their history. Juventus plays Bayer Leverkusen in about 15 minutes. Starting lineup is out. Szczesny in nets. Alexandro, Dalit, Bonucci, Cuadrado is a defense. Matuidi, Pjanic, Kadira midfield. And then Ronaldo, Higuain, Bernadeschi up top. So Bernadeschi getting the surprise start in place of Aaron Ramsey pretty much. Moving back to the Serie A games last week, let's go yellow card, red card, MVP for the whole week. Okay, so which one should we start with? I'm going to let Gianni choose this time.
I'll go with the cards. I'm going to give a yellow card to Di Francesco all the way for Sampdoria. As I said before in the show, the man has a decent team to work with. Yes, it's not the greatest. It's not the top tier teams in Serie A, but it's still a decent enough team to get results with. And he's crapping the bed with them. So if you're going to be a coach in this league, you have to get the best from what you have. He's not doing it. He gets a yellow for me.
Yellow card here.
Yeah, so for me, I'm going to go back to the Inter-Samp game that they played the other day. For me, I'm going to give a small yellow card. I mean, he had a good performance, but just the way it ended for him, I think merits a bit of yellow card. Alexis Sanchez, he almost got the Gordie Howe hat trick. But in soccer, I mean, he got the goal, and he ended up getting sent off as well with the double yellow. I mean, for the dive that he put on in the box. I mean, stuff like that. I mean, stay on your feet. You know, you're a good player. You had the win pretty much set up. So for me, nothing too major. Just a small yellow card for Sanchez on his debut there.
And he now sees a flash of yellow before his eyes.
Didn't we make up a hat trick last year, but like of a player and said, yeah, if you get a goal and assist and you score in your own net, what was that player's name? I forget his name. I'll have to look it up. I have it written down.
I mean, I remember Chiellini doing that against Azerbaijan? Bulgaria?
I'm going to take a look at it.
Euro qualifiers like 5 years ago?
I'm going to take a look at it and we're going to bring it up again next week.
Yeah, for sure.
Nicholas, you go.
Okay. Because you guys gave yellows out, I'm going to change it up. There wasn't that much controversy in the Serie A, so...
For once,
yeah, exactly. Usually we all have, like, all kinds of red cards to give out as Shakhtar scores. That's 2-1 Shakhtar. That's a disappointing loss for Atalanta. Even Adriano's upset at the San Siro. Yeah. 95th minute goal.
They counter the other way and they score. Yeah. It was almost...
A game that Atalanta definitely deserved. Okay, anyways, I'm going to give a red card to Spal's defense for their game against Juventus because, wow, they were awful. And they left Berisha out to dry their goalkeeper, who stood on his head. It would have been like 6-7 nothing, in my opinion, without him. If you guys didn't give yellows, I would have given him a yellow too, but I'm going to go to VAR and I'm going to just give it a red to the Spal defense.
It's going to go to the pocket and get out the red. It's a red card.
Can I give an honorary red to the actual league itself for this incident in Juve Spal when was it Pjanic got those racist remarks and all of a sudden
they gave Juve Brescia.
Yeah, it was Brescia. Was it Brescia?
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, and they give like Brescia a soft ban for the fans and whatnot. But,
get out of here! But, I know, I saw that.
Yeah, but then when racist remarks happened throughout all the black players in Serie A, the league is quiet.
Okay.
Anyways,
I have a thing to say about that. Obviously, the Serie A was in the wrong for lack of sanctioning for the incidents against black players, but you can't criticize them for punishing fans for racist remarks. I don't care what culture you come from. I don't care that Miralem Pjanic is a white guy. You know, it's racist remarks against Eastern Europeans.
Yeah.
And it's good that they punish. I understand what you're saying.
It should have happened a long time ago.
Why is it happening now? All of a sudden, it's a white guy.
It looks, exactly.
I'm saying, it's kind of weird.
It looks worse on the league. That's
it looks bad, especially that it's a Juventus player. You know, but
no, not. It's actually the fact that it's not a Juve. I'm actually going to defend your team here. It's not the fact that it's a Juve player. It's the fact that it's a white guy. All of a sudden, he got racist remarks. Oh wait, now we're going to take action. That's where it looks worse.
Yeah.
And when a couple of weeks ago, probably even a week before, there was incidents that were still happening. And nothing was happening to the teams. Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but you can't criticize them for the punishment on this occasion. But, okay, you want to give that a red? I'll give that a red.
An honorary red.
Could be a red card. The red card is out. And it's no surprise. Absolutely is against the rules.
Exactly.
Say no to racism.
It should have happened a long time ago.
I'm going to go with the MVP of the week. I'm going to have to go with... I was deciding between Miralem Pjanic and Franck Ribéry, but since I got first dibs, I'm going to go with Ribéry, actually. He was just fantastic against Milan, just turning back the clock. I was watching the game, and the commentator said, he's 36, for goodness sake. You know, he was the best player on the pitch in that game. And this is a game with a lot of youngsters, a player, Federico Chiesa, who's 21. And, hey, if he's going to play all season like that, that's going to be fun to watch Fiorentina in that attack.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree. I think it's about time now that he's kind of integrated him and he's finally showing, obviously, his class with the bunch of youngsters that they have. You know, Chiesa, Castrovilli, another name that's pretty impressive. So, yeah, I think it's about time. But for me, I'm going to go with a guy that I think fell off the map, as Gianni said, now kind of maybe getting it going. I'm going to go give it to Andrea Gallobellotti. His whole week from midweek to the weekend, I think, was pretty impressive. Obviously, he got the two goals against Milan. You know, Milan played probably their best 70 minutes, but obviously couldn't hold on. And, you know, Belotti finished them off over there and then getting another goal on the weekend. You know, they did lose against Parma in a crazy game that we mentioned before. But I think his overall play this season, I think it's pretty evident. Pretty clear that it's kind of a bounce back, kind of a season to get him going. We mentioned it in previous shows. I think Nicholas has mentioned it time and time again that he's developed as a, you know, different style of a player instead of just that target man guy up top. He's kind of been able to you know, play with the ball and, you know, bounce off of him and whatnot. So along with all his goal scoring ability, so for me this week, for the entirety of the week, Gallobellotti gets my MVP.
My MVP, I'm going to go to a rival team right now, to a player who probably doesn't get that much attention right now, is Ciro Immobile. When Lazio needed him, especially after their bit of a shaky season so far, he gets a goal and assist this past game versus Genoa. He also has 5 goals in 6 games, something that we haven't really paid attention to. And he's up there continuing like his Capo Cagnonieri's runs like that he always has every season. He's a guy that I know we make give him a lot of crap for kind of disappearing on the national team, but when it comes to league play, the guy's there for Lazio. And
the moment with Inzaghi was nice too.
Yeah, so it shows that he's there to make the club better. He's not there for himself to make himself better. He's there to make the fans and the club itself better. So he's my MVP for this week.
Because that's for a run from Luis Felipe, and he's going to roll in. Ciro Immobile, is this the 4? It is, and take a bow, Luis Felipe, because he has handed it on a plate to Ciro Immobile.
I think this is the first time that Derby Totale is coming up in a long time, and there's serious Scudetto implications. Sorry, even though this is match week
seven,
mm-hmm. match day seven, I should say. You know, by the time they play each other again in March, it's going to be even deeper if they continue this run of form. But it's been a long time since Inter has been able to challenge Juventus for the title. And, you know, it's funny. I think Gazzetta dello Sport wrote an article yesterday, which is kind of laughable. But they said, is Juventus the anti-Inter? No, no, not is Inter the anti-Juventus. Is Juventus the anti-Inter? Which, okay, that's unacceptable, but... Hey, this is going to be an amazing game on Sunday.
I think so. I mean, I think both fan groups should be excited, especially as you said, Inter. They haven't been able to really, really challenge Juve in the past couple of years, or in quite a while, actually. So this team that they got going on with Conte at the helm, with the, you know, the tactics and philosophy that he has over there at Inter, I think, you know, it speaks volumes, and they've had a perfect start for their Serie A season. So I mean, if you know, they can definitely keep that going against Juve. I personally don't want to see the draw. Just I feel like it will happen as a draw. I would like a winner, because I think it'll do a bit more damage. But I think as you said, it's gonna be a hell of a game. You know, I think it's a game that everybody has to watch, fan or not fan. So I mean, it's gonna be interesting. I wonder if the, you know, the ex Juventina bites back and gets his team a win.
This is a game that we have to notice the fact that Inter has only had two goals against this entire season, and ever since the game of Napoli Juve, where Juve led in three, Juve's only let two goals in ever since that game in the league. So this is going to be a game of not which team is going to be better, but which team is going to make that first mistake. Because I think what's going to happen is that the moment one team makes that slight mistake, the other team's just going to capitalize and get that goal. And they're both capable of punishing mistakes. So it's more on the fact of the stress. Like, it's not about who's going to score first, who's going to screw up first.
Yeah, I agree.
And what makes this exciting is that it's at the San Siro, the theater of calcio, La Scala del Calcio, as many people know it. And two seasons ago, Juventus pretty much won the Scudetto, more or less, at the San Siro with that Higuain goal in the 89th minute, that crazy comeback, even though Inter wasn't fighting for the Scudetto at the time. So that's what I'm saying. This is the first time in a long time that both teams are challenging. And you know what? When I think of Conte with Inter, I think of his days with Juventus, how he got into a feud with Marco Materazzi in 2002 during the Scudetto battle then. And they did not like each other on a personal level. Conte did not like Inter. You know, he was Juventino through and through. You could open up a vein and he'd literally be bleeding black and white, not red like a normal human. So it's so weird to see him coaching that team. As just like it's weird to see Sadi coaching Juventus, because he was the coach that gave them a middle finger to the fans a few years ago, if you remember that.
Of course.
He was
love that moment. Love that moment.
So imagine a few years ago somebody told you, imagine when Conte was with Juventus. Okay, but Conte, when he was at Juventus, if I'm not mistaken, Sadi was not at Napoli yet.
No.
How long ago probably... are you talking about?
So, because Conte left Juventus in 2014.
Yeah, he's probably Empoli, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
They were one of the bottom.
He only went to Napoli around 2016,
yeah.
I believe it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But regardless, you know, if you told us in 2017 that in 2 years from now, Sadi is going to be coaching Juventus and Conte in Inter, it's...
Nobody would have believed you.
It would have blown your mind.
Yeah.
Well, Gyalti Gold made a joke about it. They made a joke video where they had one of the guys from 2016 pushes a button in 2019. He sees all these changes. And then 2022, all of a sudden, he's like, oh, Totti, coach of Lazio. And like, what?
Great guys over there at Gyalti Gold.
Other games this... Okay. Well, actually, what do you guys predict for the derby?
It's a tough one. As I said, I don't want to see the draw, but I feel like it'll probably end that way. I would like a win for either of the teams. You know what? I don't know.
I think it's probably going to be a low-scoring affair. It's either going to be 1-0 Inter, I think, or maybe 1-1.
Maybe a 2-1 if they really fight.
I personally don't believe it's going to go past more than one goal for each team.
I'm going to say 2-1 Juventus. Actually, unfortunately, we ran out of time. I did want to talk about the other Serie A games this weekend, but we ran out of time. Too much talk about Milan and the Derby and then Marco Paradiso.
Good conversation today, though.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, Real Madrid just tied Club Brugge 2-2 in the Champions League. Emmanuel Bonaventure scored for Club Brugge. Long-lost Belgian cousin of Giacomo Bonaventura.
Giacomino mio, baby.
Giacomino! Giacomino!
Anyways, thanks for listening to us here on The Calcio Guys.
Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, at The Calcio Guys. Facebook, same thing. And all the clouds, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, and everything else.
Thanks for listening.
Ciao.
Bye.